You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. And now we turn from Mars to Saturn. Remember back in 2017 when the Cassini spacecraft dove through Saturn's rings and plunged to its fiery death in Saturn's atmosphere? Well, like the rover Opportunity, Cassini's legacy lives on in the data it sent back to Earth. And now, thanks to that data, scientists have figured out that a day on Saturn lasts 10 hours, 33 minutes, and 38 seconds, possibly plus or minus a minute or two. Joining me now to explain how they figured that out is Chris Mankovich. He's a graduate student at UC Santa Cruz and lead author of the recently published work. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
We know the day length of every other planet in the solar system. Why not Saturn?
Well, Saturn's a little tricky. So first of all, it's a fluid planet, which means you can't just track features on the surface and time how long they take to go around. But it's not the only fluid planet. Jupiter, for instance, is a fluid planet, but we've known the length of its day to something like millisecond precision for a long time. And the reason that that's possible for Jupiter is that it has a magnetic field that rotates around as the planet rotates. And so it's possible to actually track that with radio and time it to get the length of the day. But for Saturn, it's a little bit peculiar in that its magnetic field, as far as we can tell, is perfectly aligned with its rotation axis, which means that you can stare and stare and stare, but the magnetic field just doesn't change. So Saturn has a way of making it hard for us. And that's the reason why we haven't really known how long a day is on Saturn until now.
Just to play devil's advocate for a moment, why is it important to know how long a day on Saturn is?
Well, when it comes to understanding the way that the planets are built in general, what they look like on the insides, it turns out that the rotation rate is one of the most important basic inputs that we use to understand the insides of the planets. So, for instance, Jupiter and Saturn, most of what we know about their interiors comes from sensitive measurements of their gravity field up close. And that's what spacecraft like Juno at Jupiter and Cassini at Saturn are doing. But to make sense of those data, we really need to know exactly how fast those planets are rotating, because how quickly a planet is rotating dictates kind of how squashed it is. And Jupiter and Saturn are both pretty fast rotators, and so they're squashed. So they're actually wider at their equator than at their poles.
And you're trying to figure out things like whether there's a solid core in the middle of it, whether it's all liquid, you know, that kind of thing when you talk about the interior of the planet.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So when it comes to deciding whether or not, say, there's a core, how big it would be, which is really an important question because it tells us about how these planets could have formed, that relies on interpreting the gravity field using models, and this rotation rate is one of the basic inputs into those models.
Well, Chris Mankovich, the estimate that you've come up with for the length of a day on Saturn is 10 hours, 33 minutes, and 38 seconds. There were some previous estimates and mathematical calculations. How different is your estimate?
Well, it depends on which one you're comparing it to, but the kind of longest known published periods that were originally thought to be maybe tracking the interior rotation of the planet, they're way longer than the new estimate that we got, by something like 5 to 8 minutes, which might not sound like a lot. But again, like I say, because the rotation rate is such an important input when it comes to figuring out what the inside of the planet looks like, that 5 to 8 minutes can actually make a big difference. So our new rate that we got using ring seismology is something like 5 to 8 minutes faster than the most commonly cited rotation rate for Saturn. So it shows us that we think that old rate was not really tracking the inside of the planet.
But your estimate is still an estimate. It's not, as you said, for Jupiter, down to the millisecond. It's kind of plus or minus a minute or two.
How big
is that, and why that uncertainty?
So that's still a significant uncertainty, but it's still not enough to be consistent with some of these really slow periods that were found by analysis of, say, Voyager data. So it's small enough that we know that our new answer is significantly faster than the old kind of rate. But the origin of that uncertainty is really the fact that there's still a lot of uncertainty associated with what the inside of the planet looks like. So even with the benefit of Cassini data, there's still kind of a variety of models that we can build for the planet's entire structure that fit all of the data that we have. And so basically the reason why there's maybe a plus or minus a minute or two uncertainty on this rotation rate is because there's still a handful of plausible interior models that we can make for Saturn, and we have no reason to select one over the other, and so each one essentially predicts a slightly different rate.
And how exactly did you get to this estimate? I mean, you mentioned something, ring seismology. Everybody's familiar with Saturn's beautiful rings, but exactly how do they tell you how fast the planet's rotating?
Right. Well, everybody's familiar with the rings, and part of what makes them so kind of mesmerizing is just how well-ordered they are, how sharp they are. And the fact they're well-ordered means that they're really sensitive to kind of small perturbations from outside. So it's been known since the Voyager days in, say, the 80s, that if you look closely at the rings, you can find waves. And in general, those waves are the product of satellites orbiting Saturn just pulling and pushing on the rings to kind of stir up a little bit of waves.
Responding to the gravity of those different bodies.
Yeah, that's exactly. Responding to the gravity of those bodies orbiting outside the rings. Voyager saw a couple waves in Saturn's C ring, which is like a ring closer into the planet, that looked a lot like those, but turned out to be going in the wrong direction. They were propagating toward the planet. So they looked a lot like those satellite waves, except it pointed towards a gravitational influence coming from Saturn itself. And what we've discovered about these waves is that they turn out to be caused by Saturn itself oscillating in a way that's a lot like Earth shaking after an earthquake.
Wow.
So we're able to interpret these waves to be Saturn oscillations, and it turns out that the frequencies of those planet oscillations are a really strong function of how quickly it rotates.
Is that something like tides? I mean, you said Saturn is a fluid planet. Is that, when you say the planet's oscillating, what does that mean?
It's really similar to tides, but this is a different class of oscillation that happens to be at faster frequencies. It's a lot like the way that actually stars oscillate, which they do in general. That includes the sun. Stars in general can oscillate with a variety of different types of waves. These waves are something like surface water waves that are actually trapped on the surface of the planet and propagate around with the planet.
And you were able to use essentially those huge waves, and the effect of them on the rings to actually calculate how fast the planet was moving. That's pretty amazing.
That's exactly right. And they're not exactly huge. It turns out that for these waves, it requires an amplitude of about a meter at the planet's surface to give a strong enough gravitational effect that the ring particles will respond with a wave.
That's really cool. So it's not like it's a 30-foot wave that's moving around the planet. It's a few feet high.
That's right. Not a tsunami.
Well, Chris Mankiewicz, what else could we be learning from those waves and from Saturn's rings about, you know, what Saturn actually is made of and how it behaves?
Yeah, well, I'm really excited. And part of what I'm excited about and what this study didn't really get into yet is some other class of the waves that I've been talking about. There's a subset of these waves that are a little bit peculiar, and it turns out that they're different from the surface waves that I was just talking about. They're actually waves that are probing Saturn's really deep interior. So rather than trapped on the surface, they're living deep in the planet near where the planet's core is. And those are waves that we couldn't interpret with the models that we've built so far, but those are models that have the potential to tell us exactly what the structure looks like deep, deep down. So whether or not there is a solid core and how big it is, whether or not a solid core might have eroded over time as convection in the planet kind of dug up at it from above. Those are things that we can hope to learn from these peculiar waves that haven't been fully understood yet.
All of this sounds so completely foreign when we are used to a solid planet. Obviously, lots of water at the surface, but a largely solid planet. How did you get interested in Saturn originally?
I have to be honest and say that I think of Saturn as a tiny star. And that's because my background comes from studying stars and stellar evolution. I've been interested in the way that low-mass stars evolve after they stop being a main sequence star like the Sun. And I've studied the oscillations of stars like that. So the Kepler mission, it turns out, delivered a lot of data that you can use to pull oscillations like this out of just data of thousands and thousands of stars. So that's how I got my start. And so for my PhD, when it became clear that for Saturn there was this really unique data from the Cassini mission that might contain the oscillations of the planet, it seemed like a natural fit for me. So I think of Saturn as an extremely scaled down star, so small that it can't fuse hydrogen, but in many ways is just the same thing. It's supported by self-gravity, and it's really a similar problem from my perspective.
Chris Mankiewicz is a graduate student at UC Santa Cruz and lead author of a recent study that nailed down the length of a day on Saturn. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.